What we're going to do this morning, I've been not getting through with the lessons. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to just finish up the one we were on last week, and then we'll get, that way we'll be able to get the next lesson and get it all done. I'm going to work that out. So anyway, but if you care to, I'll just mention the first part of the lesson last week from last week, talking about the power to succeed. And if you need the words that go in the blanks, I'll give you those right quick, and then we'll do the ones that we're going to finish up. I'll give you those as we go. But on page 22 is the lesson that we started last week, and it says, the purpose. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the main verse. So it's the purpose is I. Number two, the possibility. Can. Number three, the practice. Do. Under that is biblical practice. That's what the blank is for, and it's the blank in your book. And B is the modern practice. And so that brings us up to number four, which is perspective practice. Perspective, all things. And that's where we're going to start today. So we'll start on that, and I will mention just as we went through the other ones, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things which strengthens me. I can do all things which strengthens me. That's where we came. And so now, in number three, we were working on that. We finished that up. But under biblical practice, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And we talked about Noah, and we talked about the flood. We mentioned that, talked about the crowds of people that lost their life because they did not enter the ship, the boat that Noah took. A long time to build under God's conditions and so forth. And then we talked about Joshua, the spiritual leader of Israel, had died, and he was the one that was going to be over. And it talks about his tenacity. He never quit. And then after he, along came Solomon, the wisest man in the Old Testament. And so Solomon had helped build the temple of the Lord. And so God chose Solomon. And then Hosea was the next one. And God told him to marry a harlot. If God told him to do that, it's okay. That's something we should not do today. But it was because God wanted to reach down and touch the heart of Hosea and the heart of the people, and so on. And he did everything God asked him to do. And I think that's the most important part of the lesson. And then we got under number A, of course, it was biblical practice, under B, modern practice, and so forth. And we can do what we need to do. And that's the theme of this whole lesson. Now we get down to the perspective of all things. And so that's where we're going to start today. That's number four. The perspective in the blank there. Perspective. P-E-R-S-P-E-C-T-I-V-E. Perspective of all things. The perspective surrounds this verse, and it's found in the words all things. Perspective. And we talk about the extent. That's the next one that you need to fill in there. Extent. It's Philippians 4, 10 through 12. These are the two verses prior to verse 13 that is very familiar. So I'm going to read those verses. They're in your book there. But it tells us here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again." This is the Apostle Paul in prison. "Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And someone said that was Texas. But he was talking about being in jail. He was content even in jail. Okay, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." The Apostle Paul, before his conversion, was out to get Jesus. I mean, he thought that Jesus was the one that came on the scene and it was ruined everything. But he fell down on the road to Damascus and he wasn't the same person since. And he became a great man in the Word of God. Under number B, it's limitations. Limitations. It was perspective on four, now it's limitations. And if you miss any of the other ones, I've got them here so I can always help you put in those blanks. But limitations. Again, Philippians, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. All things. That's the limitations. There's no limitations through Christ. And then, so it's all and through Christ. I've got those underlined in my notes here. But thank the Lord for the very fact that we have these limitations because they're from God. And the first limitation was, is the will of God. We can't do all things apart from the will of God. We want to do what God wants us to do. The will of God, through that we can do all things when He calls us and to do whatever He calls us to do, whatever He lays on our hearts to do. If we're preachers, we ought to do what God wants us to do and preach the Word of God as He wants us to preach, and from Genesis to Revelation and so forth. And then also, as just church members, we need to do what God wants us to do, whether it's to be a Sunday school teacher, sing in the choir, or do whatever, go on visitation, do all those things, and so forth. And so we need to let the will of God conduct and cause our life. If it seems that God's given us too much of a task and it's too great, we just need to walk in His will, and He will equip us to be what we ought to be. I'm telling you, the first time I started trying to do something for the Lord, teach a Sunday school class, I was scared to death. I was afraid. I didn't know what to do. Now I can't shut up. But anyway, you know, God will help us. And that's what I had to do. I had to just ask the Lord, "You be my guide. You be my help." And He will do it, whatever it might be. As we walk in His will, He will equip us to do what we need to do. In Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Man, that's a powerful verse, isn't it? A wonderful verse. And then in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." So the Lord even commended them in His word that they might go out, and they might think that there's going to be some circumstances that they're not going to be able to compass or do whatever with, but God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going with you. I'm staying with you. And then in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The only other limitation on this verse is our lack of faith. Our lack of faith. God is going to be with us whithersoever we go. That's something we need to keep in our mind. Because a lot of times we come across circumstances, and circumstances want to take over. And the devil just wants us to take them over. Let them to be taken over. If he can discourage us and get us to fall back from where we used to be to where we used to be, he's happy. And the only time he's happy is until the time that he knows one of these days he's going to be burning in hell forever. The devil is. But he's trying to make it so he can take as many with him. Now, a Christian, even if they backslide, they'll not lose their salvation, but they'll lose their rewards. And so that's what we need to do. Stay on track for God. It seems sometimes that God's given us a task too great to do. And as we walk in His will, He equips us for whatever we have and whatever we need. We can't expect God to give us His strength if we do not believe His will. His will is for us. God needs us in this world, and more probably so now than ever before. Our world is in a terrible shape. You turn the TV on and watch the news for a while, and sometimes you want to leave it on to see what's happening, and sometimes you want to just turn it off because it's so, I don't even have the words to say. It's just intense. And we, you know, television, and I'm sure it was like that through many wars before television came out. We just didn't know about that much about it. But we need to pray for our military boys overseas. And we need to pray for our leaders. And we need to pray for our president coming up, whoever that might be. I hope it's not who I think might be it. But anyway, I wouldn't tell you who she was anyway if I had to. But nonetheless, okay, let's go on. We can't expect God to give us His strength if we don't believe He will. He'll give us His strength. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, let me find it here, and I got to turn the page. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 20 tells us, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be removed hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and it shall nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then, of course, we have another verse here, and it's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And that is under the... Did I lose the page? Let's see. I'm supposed to be on the... That's the power through Christ. And I'm right. I just got to get it straightened out. Get your book and my book straightened out. The purpose, the possibility, the practice, the perspective. That's where we're at, the perspective. And so as we get over here to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 20. Did I read that? I hadn't read that one yet. Verse 20 and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And so it was a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we also want to mention here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember our theme verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so then we come to the promise of Him. And it says, that's number six, the promise which strengtheneth me. The promise in this verse is found in the phrase, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So maybe we're so excited and thankful for the promise and the strength that will assist us in our life, we need to remember that He will recognize us and go with us. We can claim the promise of the Lord by desiring and trusting in Him and holding on to Him. He is our guide. He is everything that we have need of. And so the first point is desiring Him. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. What is it that we find our heart desiring? There's a lot of people who they have the desires of their heart. They're not spiritual desires. They're not desires that would help them to improve on their quality of life. But you know, perhaps their desire is a job or an opportunity or a relationship or a financial security or something to meet, maybe live in a different area of the United States and so forth. They have a desire, and those things is what they work for. Those are things they think about all the time. But we ought to think about what does God wants us to be, what He wants us to be, and what we ought to do. We need to desire Him. As I read here in Psalm 73:25, it said, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. And so that's in the promise of Almighty God. And then that's under A, that was desiring Him. And then under B, putting your faith in Him. Again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then, as we think about that, faith in Him, we can trust Him with our eternal destination because He saves us for all eternity. We live this life as a Christian. When we pass away, we go on to be with Him. Yesterday evening, Vera and I went over to, Friday evening, Vera and I went over to the funeral home in Childress to see a man that we used to sing with in the quartet that we went to the nursing homes. And who was his name? Gene Keys. Gene Keys. My mind. But he was a great fella, and we used to sing together with that group, and he passed away. And we went over to see his family, and they're a nice family and all that sort of thing. But you know, to be absent the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's the most important thing about it. In fact, he had to quit during the time that we were doing the singing, and I had to switch from bass to tenor. That's the only bad thing about that quartet. They'd get up too high sometimes. But anyway, we put our faith in Him. And sometimes when what we see doesn't look hopeful and we doubt that God is going to do whatever He's supposed to do for us, we just need to remember that He saved us from hell. He can do anything, and He can cause us to be anything we want to be and everything we should want to be. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, again, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. We need to hold on to Him. You know, we may, as we think about it, although we may not understand why God allows us to go through certain things, we need to never turn our back on God. Never turn our back on God. Never turn our back on God. Never tell God you don't want Him in your life anymore. That's a terrible thing. I've heard people say that because they didn't get what they thought they should get, or they couldn't do something they thought they should do. The way may be tough. Sometimes our situations may be insurmountable. Sometimes we get discouraged. In fact, a lot of times we get discouraged. But we ought to always remember that He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God knows what He's doing, and He knows what we're doing. And we need to ask Him to help us be what He wants us to be. He has an ultimate purpose for our hardships in our life. We're His child. He loves us. He won't let us down. And He will hold on to us. And so we need to hold on to Him. God is always there. And that's some of the things that people kind of forget. Where's God? He's there. He's here. He's with us. So we need to cling to Him and trust in Him and rest in Him. At the beginning of this lesson, we discussed some of the things about a good friend. And we said two great attributes of a trusted friend was willing helpfulness and trustworthiness. We talked about that early on in this series of lessons. And ultimately, a great friend is that the greatest friend we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we need to realize that. Jesus will encourage us more than anybody else. We need to look in the Bible and follow His instructions and do what He wants us to do and be what He wants us to be. When we're facing painful trials, Jesus is there. He bears our burdens. He feels our pain. He takes it as His own. He took it all on Calvary. So if we have a pain or we have a suffering that is causing us some problems, we can remember that's what Jesus has done for us as well. He suffered for us on Calvary's cross. And so when we're overwhelmed with all of our responsibilities, He invites us to come and to the throne and rest. Come and talk to Him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get on your knees and talk to the Lord. And you always feel better when you get up. Because remember, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The devil doesn't want us to remember that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes we get into situations and we say, I don't know how I got into this. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And I don't know why I'm here. Or why am I in this situation? Or why did I lose my job? Or why do I have to move to another city? Or why this? Or why that? Or why am I sick? Or why am I in the hospital? And yet, we have to realize that God's still on the throne, and He's with us. If you have to go to the hospital for surgery, He's with you. And sometimes, we have difficult situations that come up in our life. It could be a family member that we have to take care of. It could be someone who has lied about us, said something untrue, and it causes other people to wonder what's going on in our life. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us, and He will always help us get through our situations, and we'll be on top of things again. He replaces our finite strength with His strength. We get weak. Do not be weak in well-doing. For in due season, For in due season you will do your things in, and I can't remember the rest of the verse. I started it and I can't remember it. But anyway, in due season you'll faint not. Anyway, that's part of it. But thank the Lord for that. It wasn't in the book, so I'm just going to quote it off the top of my head, and the top of my head's gone. So I guess, part of it anyway. But we just need to remember that God is our bearer for us. He will help us. He will never leave us. He's not only our Savior, but He's our closest friend. There's no friend like Jesus. And there's a song that talks about that. And sometimes when we realize the characters in the Bible, like we talked about to begin with, Noah and Jonah and Moses and David and Daniel and all those things, God was with them, and it was an example of what He's going to do for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Which strengtheneth me. What are the two limitations to Philippians 4:13? Well, I think they're the will of God and our life. Our life, our faith in Him. Those are the limitations. I can do all things through Christ. That's the will of God, which strengtheneth me. That's our faith. Our faith ought to be in Him. Why is there no reason to fear what God may call us to do? Because whatever He does call us to do, He equips us to do it. God won't lay something on your heart that you can't do. You just turn it over to Him. We rely on God. He gives us strength to do His will. And so thank the Lord. He replaces our strength with His strength. I have an illustration here, and I'm going to read it to you because it's easier to do it that way. But it says, have you ever watched a child under the age of 5 try to shoot a basketball into a 10-foot hoop? As adults, we may hide a chuckle or grin as a cute little child attempts to make the basket. We know that as he shoots, he probably is not going to make it because he's so small. But what would happen if a man over 6 feet tall picked him up, put him on his shoulders, and gave him the basketball? It'd be much easier for him to throw the basketball into the basket. And so when we try to go through life in our own strength, we're like that small child tossing the basketball toward the goal without a chance of making it. But God wants to give us His strength, so He'll pick us up. He wants to do something for us so we can reach higher. He is willing to lift us up so that we can reach the plans He has for us. God wants us to be in the center of His will. The center of His will. Not wondering what is His will. Find out what God wants you to do. Now, there's some things we know. God wants us to be a good Christian. He wants us to read our Bible. He wants us to pray. He wants us to go to church. He wants us to witness to people. We know those things. But sometimes God lays something on our heart to do for Him, not in those categories, but He needs somebody to do it. It may be maybe you're a good carpenter and the church needs something fixed. You can do that. You can do that, and the Lord will. That'll be on your account. You do it for Him, and when we do things, we don't all. We sometimes we'll say we'll do it for you, or we'll do it for the Lord, or we do it for the Lord. That's what we ought to do. We ought to do everything we can, but He wants us to do something to reach out, and when we reach out, He'll lift us up, and then He who calls us will perfect us, and He will equip us. I can do all things. That's the main verse. Some of the lessons have more than one verse. And these had more than one verse, but the main verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We don't have to depend upon our own depend upon our own life. You know, sometimes we try to do that, but what are some of the factors that would stop us from having spiritual victory in our lives? Well, a promise we don't keep. That'll stop us being what God wants us to be, relying on our strength instead of on God's strength. We need to rely on God's strength. We need, and our lesson is the power to succeed. We need to succeed because we trust in Him. And so sometimes there's a question here. Right about a time your problems, fears, and hurts were great, but God provided them to be greater. And so you can think of anything you might want to do then, but I wrote down here, when a faithful member was going to leave our church, if I didn't leave, that happened. That happens to preachers sometimes. But God worked it out. And he and his wife left, and the offerings got bigger. He was one of the biggest givers in our church, and he thought it was time for me to go before I decided to go. And the people didn't want me to leave right then. And so he left, and everybody wondered how the church was going to get along, and the offerings went up. Maybe there were people in the church that weren't giving because they were upset about him wanting to be in charge of everything. I don't know. But that was one of the problems and fears and hurts. And I love those people. And I still do. His wife was our piano player. And he was a, well, I shouldn't say it, but he was a State Farm agent. And it wasn't him back, it wasn't this back there. But nonetheless, but God worked it all out. And I stayed a while longer. And then the Lord laid it on my heart to retire. And that's what I was planning on doing. He thought I'd do it then. I was going to do it next year. And I did it next time. All right. So as we reflect on life today, we ought to allow God to just be our companion, and we want to be His servant. We need to daily surrender our life to Him. Lord, what you want me to do? By reading His Word and by praying. Prayer changes things. And again, this verse, if you don't know it by now, you surely ought to know it by now. But Philippians 4:13, let's say it all together. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if we'll keep that in mind, we won't be down in the dumps. We won't think things that we need to do, we can't do. We can do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so thank the Lord for all things that we can do because He strengthens us, and so on. And so as we reflect on our life, we need to allow Him to just be what He wants to be for us. And when that's true, then we can be the person that God wants us to be. Let's pray. You okay, Vera?
I don't think you gave the word to fill out in the blank in number 5.
On number 5? Let's see. Let me find it. What page is it on?
24.
Let me go back to 24. I was on number 5. Well, I thought that I was getting done too soon. So let's look at number 5. The power. Through Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did we read Matthew 11:28-30? Okay, I skipped that verse. Let me see if there's any notes in this other book here that I skipped too. I don't want to do that. Because it's got some extra things in it. That was number 5. I got to go back to number 4. Number 5. And that's number 4. Let's see. Number 5. Let's see what I've got on here. Power through Christ. If Christ is not a part of our life, it goes on and talks about, well, mainly what it's talking about here, the extra little things that are in here. It's talking about people who are not saved, and they need to be saved, and they need to trust in the Lord And it says the power in this verse through Christ. If Christ is not a part of your life, and this verse cannot apply to you. If there's never been a time when you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're denying yourself the almighty power of God. If you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, don't wait another day, and so forth. And I just missed that part of it, and so on. And there, did I give you the illustration about the? Well, there's some more things. Let me read this one, because I probably skipped it too. When we're in the midst of trials and temptations, we may be empty, tempted to pray, "Lord, I just can't do this. Please take this burden away from me." Paul had a burden like this, a burden that he called a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord multiple times to take it away, but as far as we know, the Lord never did. In spite of the fact that Paul did not lose his thorn in the flesh, he could still write a letter about Jesus Christ and the joy he produces. The letter to the Philippians, rather than take Paul's trials away from him, the Lord gave him the grace to endure them. And when you face a trial, rather than ask the Lord to take it away, ask the Lord to help you through it. We were not meant to bear our trials alone, but rather we were designed to depend on God as we go through them with His help. Okay, I skipped that whole page and that other part of that other page, and that's why I didn't get all everything done. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that the grace of God helps us endure. And that's what it's talking about here in that which I read, and then talking about trials. Paul went through many trials, but he was a great writer in the Bible. And God, and of course, it was God that inspired him and told him what to write and all those sorts of things. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking into the Word of God and understanding and finding things that we ought to do and be. And Lord, help us now each Sunday as we study these lessons. In Jesus' name, amen.